We'd like to wish everyone a very good morning on this Asala Puja day. It's also blessed by very beautiful weather. I'd like to make a few announcements about the schedule for today. And it's the full moon of July. This is the Asala Puja, the day that commemorates when the Buddha gave the first teaching on the Four Noble Truths and the Middle Way. And then tomorrow is the formal beginning of the rains retreat, the Vasa period, for 3 months. It goes from just after the full moon of July to the full moon of October. So this is a period of time for the monastic community to be stable in our residence. So our rules are that we are not able to be away more than 6 nights in a row during this time. It's also a period of time for the monastic community to have solo retreat periods and also to give attention time to the study of the Vinaya discipline for everybody. So it's a period of 3 months of focused practice in various different ways. Also, the Sunday afternoon talks will be beginning on Sunday, so that the list of those and the titles are just being processed at the moment and will hopefully be published in a couple of days' time. So this evening we will have the regular observance day gathering. Thank you also very much. Appreciation for the flags and the preparation of the stupa site. Everyone who's helped with putting out lanterns and so forth. Already, we're very much ahead of the game. So thank you for everyone who's lent a hand to do that. So we'll gather in the temple at 7:30 with the usual chanting, meditation, and Dhamma talk. And then after that, there'll be a candlelit circumambulation, walking around the stupa, assuming that the fine weather holds into the evening, and that'll be taking place at around 10 o'clock this evening that the candlelit procession happens. Over the next few days, during the first week of the rains retreat, then we have a period of group practice, and that'll be beginning on the 18th, so the day after tomorrow. So today is Tuesday, so that'll be beginning on Thursday morning, and during that time, we have group meditation, morning, afternoon, evening, and I offer morning reflections in the temple every day, 8:30. That will go from the 18th until the half-moon day of the 24th, and that will finish in the morning of the 24th. So if people want to mark those things in the calendars or on the whiteboard, then that's the period for the group practice. So those are, I think, enough announcements from me for the time being. Are there any other things that need to be shared with everybody this morning? Venerable Balada.
Good morning. It's time for me to leave tomorrow for the rains retreat, spending at Temple Monastery in Massachusetts. And so I'd like to say farewell and also like to express my appreciation for having this support in the Sangha to live in a simple and harmonious way, even when sometimes it's not that easy. So I like to request or ask for forgiveness for that I've done wrongly by body, speech and mind, and intentionally, unintentionally. So I like to let you know about it. And thank you for your attention.
Don't touch out. Jan Hasakom.
พรุ่งนี้กับผมจะได้ไปจำพรรษาที่นอร์เวย์ขอบพระคุณคณะสงฆ์มากๆครับครับผม
The Ajahn Hasakom is going to spend the Vasa in Norway, and he would like to say thank you for the Sangha to have him here.
Ajahn Hasakom is a man of few words, so it's quite courageous for him to go to stay in the branch monastery in Norway because he will be the only Thai speaker there.And they have a lot of Thai people who come to visit, so he's going to be in a more of a social role. So I salute his good intention, and perhaps he'll be more talkative when he comes back. Not that being talkative is a virtue on its own, as my sisters pointed out to me very often when I was growing up. Any other announcements to be made?During this time, the observance days, the lay community who are resident here reaffirm the 8 precepts. People who come and spend the day here or come for the evening, they take the 8 precepts. And I like to bring to people's attention quite regularly how the Buddha formed the structure of the 8 precepts as a form of training, particularly for the lay community. But I feel this is good for the lay community to reflect on, also for the monastics, because it's also the root of our own discipline, whether it's the bhikkhus discipline, the sila dhara discipline, the anagarikas, samaniras, anagarikas. The root of our discipline is the pure heart. And so in a couple of discourses, I looked them up yesterday, justOut of interest, in the Book of the Eights in the Anguttara Nikaya, the numerical discourses, suttas number 41 and 42, the Buddha speaks about the upposita. And the mode of his thinking is, he says, from all of their lives, from the time of enlightenment till their passing away, an arahant never deliberately takes the life of a living being.Wouldn't it be a useful thing for the lay community one day a week on the upposita to also undertake that discipline, to refrain from taking the life of any other living, as the arahants do, and that will be for their long-lasting welfare and happiness. And so too for stealing, for adinadana, for the brahmacharya, all their lives from the time of their enlightenment to passing away, then an arahant never engages in any kind of sexual activity.They don't lie, they don't consume intoxicants, they don't eat they only eat in one part of the day, in the morning. They don't seek entertainment or beautification, distraction, and they use a very simple sleeping place. So I feel it's important to look at the precepts and particularly the quality of renunciation during this time. As Sangha, we reflect upon the monastic discipline, the Vinaya,But I think it's important to recognize all of it comes from the pure heart, from the enlightened mind. That's what the Buddha is doing with our discipline. All of the many and various rules that we have, they're reflecting these qualities of the pure heart. So when the heart is truly awake, is truly free of greed, hatred, and delusion, in our best moments, there's nothing in us that could be inclined to harming or killing another creature. It's impossible to tell a lie.It's impossible to, say, seek distraction or just wanting to zone out and be unconscious to sleep our way through our life. The mind just does not incline in that direction. So I feel this is important, especially when there's that grating against the heart, when we feel frustrated or irritated. We do want to take something for ourselves, or we want to harm something or somebody.We want to deceive, we're moved by sexual attraction, to see that there might be feelings of frustration or limitation at that time, or just having the limitation of the boundaries of the monastery for the rains retreat. But I feel it's most helpful to reflect that these are not generally regarded, or say, not truly regarded as limitations from the most profound perspective, but rather they're the inclination of the pure heart, the awake mind, the awake heart. And if we are using our discipline skillfully, then it's drawing upon that pure heart, our own best nature, if you like, that place in our heart that is incapable of violence, that is incapable of deceiving, that is uninterested in sexual activity, that is uninterested in greed or laziness. It just doesn't move in that direction. As I like to compare this to, it's like offering a hamburger to a horse. You know, I grew up riding horses and ponies, and so, you know, if a horse, if something's presented to them, they'll sniff it, and if it's something like an apple or a carrot, they'll go straight for it. If it's meat or something that is inedible to them, they'll just sniff and turn away. They're not interested. It's not food. It's like if someone put a brick into your alms bowl, you would not be interested in trying to bite it because it's a brick. It's not edible. It's not interesting. It doesn't register as food. So it's really drawing upon that aspect of the heart that when it comes to, say, deceiving or being, greedy or acquisitive, wanting to get something, that there is that place in the heart that says, well, no, it's not mine, I can't take that, or, well, that's not true, I can't say that, or, yeah, that's another person, I have no interest in drawing close to them just because of their body or their appearance. So why would I do that? How could that be interesting or valuable? So if we look at our discipline in this way, then it's not just the external form of don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, but rather it's a way of strengthening that purity of heart, those noble qualities of our own heart. The guna dhamma is the Pali word for that quality of virtue. It's strengthening that natural virtue of our own heart that's already here within us. We wouldn't be sitting in a Buddhist monastery if it wasn't something apparent and important to us. So it's the deliberate choice to strengthen that quality within us. So as we have a day for people taking the precepts and entering into the rains retreat, I encourage everyone to reflect on these principles, and to also have a very good day. And thanks once again for everyone who's lent a hand to making all the preparations for this evening. You're welcome.